Jewish lifestyle?
No, I have the holiday.
Yep, that's it. That's it. That's the one. Okay, so turn to page 14, and we're just going to finish this up, and then we're going to start a new unit, a new section. And let's see, we started that way, so this time we'll go this way. So, Shay, if you could read Genesis 17, verses 10 through 12, we're going to talk about circumcision. We talked about the different kind of life cycle events in Judaism, bar bat mitzvahs, and now we're going to talk about circumcision.
17, 10 through 12.
Here is my covenant which you are to keep between me and you, along with your descendants after you. Every male among you is to be circumcised. You are to be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. This will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Generation after generation, every male among you who is 8 days old is to be circumcised, including slaves born within your household and those brought from a foreigner not descended from you.
Okay, I'm going to try the question there.
Who is to be circumcised? All males 8 days old.
And including foreigners and slaves.
And slaves.
Right? And that's the next question. 8 days old. And let's see, verse 13, Denise.
The slave born in your house and the person bought with your money must be circumcised. Thus my covenant will be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant.
Question?
How long is this covenant to last?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All generations.
Everlasting, right.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is really, if you think about it, pretty incredible. This commandment was given to Abraham. That's like 4,000 years ago. And Jewish people have been doing this for all of that time, which is really pretty amazing. Okay, let's see. Jenny, do you want to try the next question? It's out of, there's no scripture to read.
What is a person who performs circumcisions called?
No clue? Anybody
a
know?
Moyle.
A moyel.
How do you spell that?
I would spell it M-O-Y-E-L.
M-Y-E-L.
Someone who circumcises, I don't know what they're doing.
So there is a person who actually is trained in this by, you know, other moyels to do it, and they get paid for it. They get hired when a baby boy is born, and they do it. And they do not only the circumcision, but the ceremony around the circumcision. There's traditional prayers that are said, and you know, who holds the baby, and all of those kinds of things. So, Jessica, next question.
Can you think of any periods in biblical and Jewish history when this covenant was ignored?
No? Anybody think of any?
During the wilderness years.
Yes.
Babylon.
Okay. The first one was when they finished the wandering in the wilderness and they were about to enter the land. Joshua was directed by the Lord to circumcise all the males before they went in the land because they hadn't been doing it. And then David was saying, well, they were in Babylon. Yes. That's true.
Comedy from Russia, I put down.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well,
that may be true, right? Right. Another interesting person who was not did not circumcise their children was Moses, which is very interesting since he wrote it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did. He, as he was on his way back to meet Pharaoh and rescue the people, something happened, and his wife realized that he had not fulfilled the covenant. And so it's just kind of a mysterious little incident there of where she tells him he has to do it, and then she seems to be upset that he did it or whatever. But you can read that in the beginning of the book of Genesis.
She did it.
She did it. Yeah, that's right. Right. And it's also interesting in Acts chapter 16, it seemed like at that time of Yeshua, the Jewish people that had scattered in the diaspora were not doing it because Paul took Timothy and circumcised him as an adult. And Timothy evidently was from a mixed marriage. I think his mother was Jewish and his father was not. And he hadn't been circumcised. So there was a falling away at that time. Okay. Neglect, disobedience.
What about in the new covenant?
Well, we're going to actually look at that. That's the next question. So, Desi, you want to try the next question there?
It was referred to. I just think of, wasn't there an 8-day thing when they said, okay, he's 8 days, we got to take him to the temple?
Who? Yeah, Yeshua himself was circumcised. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, if you want to take a look there, we can look it up. Luke 2:21. On the eighth day, when it was time for his Brit Milah, I'll explain what that means, but it's circumcision, he was given the name Yeshua, which is what the angel had called him before his conception. So, a couple of interesting things there. First of all, the phrase Brit Milah. Brit is a word you should become familiar with because it means covenant.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit mysterious because if you drive down Elmwood Avenue and you see the big temple there, it's Brith Kodesh. So Brith Kodesh means the Holy Covenant. But for some reason, one of the dialects of Hebrew, they take the T sound and turn it into a TH sometimes. Not modern Hebrew, but that's what they did. So they call it Brith Kodesh. So you might hear it called Brith Kodesh, or a Bris is another way. There's actually three pronunciations of it. Bris, Brit, and Brith. And I frankly don't know where the Bris came from, but it's the same kind of changing of the language, like we say Shabbat, but elderly Jewish people will say Shabbos. So it's changing the T to an S sound. And Brit, so Brit means covenant, Bris means covenant, and Brith means covenant, all three of those. And Milah means cutting. So it's very graphic description. It's a covenant of cutting. And the other very significant reference to circumcision, and Gabriel, in answer to your question, in the New Covenant, we've gone over here a few times, and that was that when the gospel started to go to the Gentiles, then some of the Jewish believers thought, well, if a Gentile wants to be a follower of Yeshua, they have to become Jewish, mm-hmm. and in order to do that, they have to be circumcised, and they have to follow all of the laws of Moses. And in Acts 15, we've covered this a few times, we're not going to go there this time, they met, the leaders met in Jerusalem, and they prayed, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, no, that's not the way it's going to be. A person who is not Jewish can be a follower of Yeshua, and they don't have to become circumcised to be saved. And they don't have to keep all the laws of Moses to be saved. Now, they can if they want to, but actually, on the circumcision thing, Paul later says, don't do that. If you came to the Lord and you weren't circumcised, don't get circumcised. And then he says something very strange, which I've never really understood. He says, don't get uncircumcised if you were circumcised, which I can only think that they had surgery that was a lot more advanced than we think they had, if that was the case. So the thing about circumcision, if you read Acts 15, it's very important to understand that when the conflict was going on and some of them were saying a person who was not Jewish who wants to follow the Messiah has to be circumcised, it was actually like shorthand for the entire Mosaic covenant. They didn't mean you just had to be circumcised and you could go on eating pork. It meant, you know, you had to be circumcised and follow all of the what we call the Jewish laws. So that was why circumcision was the big issue. And of course, you know, if you think about it, it made a tremendous difference in terms of how the gospel spread, because no matter how good they were preaching it, I think there would have been a little bit less enthusiasm to become a follower of Yeshua if you had to be circumcised. I think so. So I don't think that was why God said that didn't have to happen, but I think it definitely would have had a tremendous effect on how quickly the gospel spread. So there is a big reference to circumcision in the gospel. It is like one of the key points of what do we do with the Gentiles? Do we require that they be circumcised to become part of the body of Messiah, or do we not? And that was what Acts 15 was all about. And then our congregation, we strongly encourage that if either parent is ethnically Jewish, that they should have the child circumcised, because the circumcision is the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. So it's very important. We've had a very interesting history in the last year where we've had a lot of babies born. And as the we had a lot of girls at first, we didn't think about this, but then as a few boys started to be born, we had to address this. And the situation right now in the Jewish community is that the local moel will not do a circumcision for Messianic Jews. And we've had the misfortune a couple of times of having people go to him and say, you know, we want to have a circumcision. He doesn't ask any questions, and then they arrange for the time and the place and all this, and then somehow comes out that they go to Shema Israel, that they're Messianic, and then he backs out at the last minute. So we strongly advise people not to do that. What we've been blessed with, though, is Mark Craig. Some of you know Mark. How many here know Mark? This is really an amazing story. I'll tell. Mark is a really, really tall. Well, yeah, he won't be here forever, but he's a really tall gentleman. He and his wife Rasa just had a baby, and I think they brought her for the first time last week.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember, she had the baby like wrapped up in sort of a blanket thing.
A sling.
A sling. Yeah. Well, Mark is a pediatrician, and he actually in the military, and he's here. Finishing up like some sort of education, also teaching at Strong. So this was really we had, I don't remember, I think it was when Corinne and Philippe were about to have their baby, and they found out that it was being a boy. And we were having an oneg up here, refreshments, and I sat down next to Mark, and I said, well, you know, Mark, you're a doctor. I didn't know he was a pediatrician. I said, do you know anybody who would do a circumcision? And he said, well, I've done about 1,000. And I just went, you what? You've done 1,000 circumcisions? Yeah, and that, you know, they do them in the hospital now. When babies are born, he's a pediatrician. So he's the one who does them. So we enlisted him and taught him to do some of the traditional things. And he instructed us on what equipment we had to buy. You had to get like a board and had to get the surgical stuff and all of these things. And he also is training Rabbi Ben, which is very interesting. Yeah. I don't know if he's completely trained yet. Which I am very thankful for, because I didn't want to learn. Yeah, because I have a tendency to pass out at the sight of blood. So, that's been the history of it, and we do have that resource available. But because he's in the military, they move him around every few years, so it won't be forever. So hopefully, we can get somebody trained before then. But actually, if we could, it comes up sometimes. We have a forum of Messianic rabbis that we do like by email, and it's come up a few times, people saying, yeah, does anybody know where there's a moel, you know, and people are looking for one in Cincinnati, and the nearest one is like in, you know, Texas somewhere, and it's it could be a lucrative profession. Yeah. right.
Well, I have a question. So what's the difference? I mean, I understand ceremonial ways, but it really, is there a difference between like having your child have it done in the hospital?
In the hospital, they almost never do it at the eighth day.
Yeah, they won't do it at the eighth.
When
we ran into that issue
in the hospital that long
with our son. But there is a doctor that will do circumcision on the eighth day.
Yes.
But she's very booked, and so if you don't know about her in advance, like we found out about it too late, and they were like, yeah, she can do it in like 3 months. We're like, well, we're not waiting that long.
So what did you guys do? I can't remember.
We ended up just circumcising him at
the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we found out about
we didn't really, I guess we hadn't really thought about it, and then we found out about the whole, like, we knew about circumcision, but we didn't know, like, it was supposed to be done on the eighth day. We found out very,
right.
like, close to when he was born, and then we were trying to find someone at the last minute, and
yeah.
my midwife knew about this lady who did them outside of the hospital, but yeah, like, pediatricians won't pretty much do them anymore. You have to get it done in the hospital. And that's where the whole problem is, finding somebody to
right.
do on the eighth day, because you won't stay in the hospital.
Do they just do
days.
It on like the second day or something?
Yeah, soon
yeah.
before
yeah,
they release
day.
You. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I know another doctor who will do it in his office.
Okay.
And he will do it on the eighth day. The thing about Mark is that in Jewish tradition, it's done in the home.
Right.
And you invite the family, and it's a party.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the thing about Mark, is that we could get him to come and do it at home. It's a party for everybody but the baby. And the mom. The mother usually has a little hard time with it.
Jim, in the book on Jewish customs, it talks about you have to have Elijah's chair, too. Elijah has come to sit in the chair, and he's an honored guest.
Yeah, right. Right, there's a lot of customs that go with it. So we encourage... people who have a boy to have a circumcision, even if he's not Jewish, that it's a good thing. There's nothing against it. It's not forbidden. And if a person is an adult, though, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 17 through 20 says, don't do it. That's where I was quoting before, where it said... Paul said, if you are not circumcised, don't get circumcised when you get saved, and if you're circumcised, don't get uncircumcised when you're saved. But it is a very strong covenantal thing. With Jewish people, it's a sign right on your body, and there's some very interesting incidences during times of persecution about that, as you can imagine. Of how to identify the Jewish people. And there's another really incredible story about World War II. I don't know if all of you have heard this, but when the Germans would capture American prisoners of war, they would try to separate out the Jews. And then, you know, they'd send the Jews to the concentration camp. So the way they would tell was to look and see if they were circumcised. And amazingly, circumcision was a very strong custom in America in all the years before the war. So everybody was circumcised. So the Germans were foiled in their attempt to this to do this, and you know, it was kind of humorous. It really wasn't funny, but
was it Sweden or Switzerland too? They had that. Was it Sweden?
I don't know what other country.
Not Sweden. There was another country too.
Yeah, I don't know how it became such a strong custom in America, but it was very strong. And it's only been in recent years that there's been objections to it.
For medical reasons.
It was for medical reasons.
Medical
yeah.
reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been because it's supposedly more. Cleanly, easier
right.
infection.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But recently they've been trying to change that and say that's not the case, and now it's just cosmetically.
Right.
That's why California doesn't even pay for it anymore.
Yeah, so that's an issue actually with the health insurance, is what the health insurance is. Right. Right.
I have a question.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
Gabriel.
What happened?
Shh, keep it warm.
You didn't get Jewish people to have a circumcision. What happens if a Jew person has never been circumcised and is a Christian or circumcised and he dies without being circumcised? Does he lose his salvation?
No, no, no. And I didn't quite follow all the things. A Jewish person who was not circumcised,
mm-hmm.
and then they became a believer,
mm-hmm.
and then they died?
Mm-hmm.
No, no.
They won't lose their salvation.
No, absolutely not. No, no.
Where is it? Isn't it in like 1 Corinthians or something about circumcision of the heart?
Yeah, really, Paul speaks about the coming to know the Lord and giving your heart to Him is like circumcision of the heart, right? And you might think of cutting off the hardening, the hard part of the heart in that. So, yeah. Well, okay, we are to the end of this section. So what I did last week was I gave out to people who were here copies of my notes, and I brought a few more in case anybody wasn't here last time who has been through this whole thing. So Denise, you need one, and probably Lisa and Gabriel need one. Colleen, you probably don't need one because you just got the last lesson here. Does anybody else need one?
This is the new one?
No, this is the old one.
It's online.
It's online, and I have two of them left. So if anybody want them,
all right, I'll take one.
There's two extras. Another one?
You need two?
Same thing. So basically, this is like your handout, but it's got all the blank spaces filled in by me. So just in case you missed anything. And then also, tonight's my night to give out lots of things. I've got a few more tests here. So now you should only take the test if you went through most of this. If you got started with us like 3-4 weeks ago, you would not take the test. But anybody who has been through this section needs the test. Okay. So
is that for becoming a member?
Yes.
Because that's also what I was going to ask you today,
right,
actually,
about that. You have to take the test to become a member.
Okay.
So there's two tests, one for you and one for Aaron. Does anybody else need a test? Okay. I'm running out, so I'll make another copy for you, Gabriel, and for Lisa.
Okay.
All right.
I'm a member already.
Yeah, but so you don't have to take it. It's good to take the test because it kind of refreshes your knowledge. Let's see, I have one more copy of the notes, actually, if anybody needs them. One more of the teacher's notes. Okay, pass that around. Okay, now I've got the new section to hand out. Woohoo! All right, so. Is it possible? No. No, it has to be one or the other. All right. All right. So this is the